Johannesburg. Holy on the Mishnah side, Gemara base.
Misha Yanasui Arba Anashim who made Harishonaka Namelishniya Vishniya Lishlishit Vishlishit Revi'it. In the case in which each one of them, Yemen has four wives, and each ketuvah has a different date, so whichever one now has the earlier date, they collects first. But she has to swear to the one that's going to be collecting afterwards that she didn't receive anything towards her ketuvah, because otherwise there may not be enough left for the pura'on. The second one swears to the third swears to the fourth. And that way, everything seems to be okay. But the fourth, Haravi'it, Nifrat Shalom B'Shvua, there would be no point in the fourth one swearing. Who should not swear to? If there's money, there's money. If not money, there's not money. Menana Somer, why shouldn't she swear? But just because she's the last one in line, therefore she doesn't have to swear, which doesn't seem to make much sense. Well, we'll ask who she's swearing to, what's it for? Afilo Tipara Ala B'Shvua, the last one needs to make a Shvua as well. Ayu Yotzot Kulam V'Yom Echad, on the other hand, if all of them, Rashi learns the word Yotzot means if all of them come to Beis Din. Usually Yotzot is reference to the star, and indeed many learn that's what it means. All of the ketuvot, not all of the women, were Yotzot Kulam B'Yom Echad. So then, Kol HaKodemet L'Chavrata, Afilu Sha'achat Zachta. If they're dated, and they also have not only the date, but they have the time of the day, then any slight differential in time gives rights to the earlier one. And indeed it's because of that, Kachayu Kotvim Yerushalayim Sha'ot, that they used to be makpid to write the, not only the date, but also the time in the contracts in Yerushalayim. Hayo kulam yotzot b'sha'a achat. If, however, all of them had the same hour, well, there was no akbar on the hour. So if there's only a mona, in this case, there would be chokot b'shava, because they all have the same rights to the chalukah. Says the Gemara, b'mayka b'flagei, which actually boils down to the question of what in the world would bananas be saying? We know the obvious trap in the Tanakhama. What's talking about over here, k'gon sh'nitzet achat mi'em sadeh she'ena shelo, one of the three fields that had been collected was found, or may be found, Rashi says was found, which is a little problematic, was found, then why should we let her collect at all? If there were only four fields, and now one of the fields ends up not being his, then the fourth one shouldn't be able to collect. Taisus learns that the pshat over here is that it's not literally discovered to be not his, but it's possible that it's not yours. Since you might have a case in which nimtzes achat mi'em sadeh she'ena shelo, therefore she swears in order not to be gova something that isn't really meant to be hers. The lashon, I'll explain momentarily, according to Taisus, after we see what the machlokas is. And what are they arguing in? They're arguing about whether there's any point in making her swear. Since even if she had collected, she is a balat chov mu'uchar, so balat chov mu'uchar can't keep what she collects, if it turns out that there's a previous lien. So if she can't keep what she collects anyway, so what's the difference? If we're going to let her collect, and then we won't be able to get it away from her, that's a problem. So then we need to be nifrat. Of course, as Tosa says, according to Ryan, understand, what's the point? If we know that it's already not meant to be hers, what are we doing this for? The lashon of Tigon Shanim Seet Achad Mim Sada Shein Shalom is now clear, though. In other words, they are arguing about what would be the din if Nim Seet Achad Mim Shein Shalom, whether she'd have to give it back or not. And that turns out to be a machlokes in this case because of the chashash. Of course, what it might mean, according to Rashi, is that one of them has found Nim Seet Achad Mim Shein Shalom in terms of Asikim, but hasn't been passed. So there's a chashash now, we're worried about it. In any event, the Tanakhama holds a balchov mu'uchar shekadam v'gava, ma shegava lo gava. Anyway, it wouldn't make any difference, even if she already collected it. And therefore, we would take it away from her. So what? There's nothing to lose. So why should she swear? If it turns out that we need the field that she's collecting from, we'll simply take it away from her and give it to whoever it needs. So how can they say to her, swear to us that you deserve it? She said, what difference does it make to you? It's none of your business. If it turns out there's not enough money for you to collect, you'll get it anyway. I'm not swearing to anybody. Whereas Banana says, no, since Masha Gava Gava, if we allow her to collect, then we're going to be mafsid the other ones. That we can do.
So she swears to all the other three.
So therefore she swears. To. According to this thread, yes. We'll see that any shvu you take is to everybody. So even though it says first one swears to the second one, what's the difference? Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Bar Avuha says, not necessarily. We don't have to go this way to explain the Mishnah and say that we're arguing in the machlokas of whether the din is that Masha Gava Gava. Rather, we can say like this, Kuliyama Masha Gava Lo Gava. That is not a problem. If she had collected, we would have taken it away from her. So you'll say, so then why bother swearing? Because anyway, she's not going to be mafsida anybody by collecting. I'll tell you. The machlokas is b'chayshinan shematachsifka miflegim. We're arguing about whether we're worried about the fact that she may ruin the field. Why? Well, according to Rashi, it's obvious why. According to Rashi, we're talking about that there's already serious doubts, or perhaps even worse, about her rights to this field. So obviously she's going to try to get as much as she can out of it without giving anything back, because she doesn't see it as a long-term investment. But even according to Tosis's chap, we'll have to say that in a case where she was fourth in line to collection, and there were only four fields, she's got her own worries about it. So she's going to wait quite a while before putting anything into the field to see if there's a problem. And meanwhile, she's going to try her best to get out as quickly as she can, whatever she can, out of the field. And therefore, in order to avoid the possible kisuf, the possible ruination of the field, so we would make her swear, because why should we give her something that she's going to wreck? So Mar, even if we can collect it back from her, which is what everybody holds over here, Masha Gava Lo Gava. So Mar, Sovar Cheshin and Shemetachzif. Umar, Sovar Lo Cheshin and Shemetachzif. So we're not afraid. We don't take that chashash so seriously. So let her have it. If it turns out not to be hers, we'll take it back. What's the point of making a shvua? Abaye Omar. Abaye says, you guys, you're all missing the point. It has nothing to do with swearing to the other women. She doesn't swear to the other women. The question over here is whether she has to swear to the Yisomim, like any woman. A woman is collecting from Yisomim. So we saw earlier, Bali Fra, Minatzei Tamim, Eina Nifrat, Ela Be'shu'ah. So stop, it's a problem over here. Why in the world doesn't she have to swear? I mean, she's collecting over here, her husband dies, for sure she has to swear. Forget about the other women. Oh, because, says Abaya, there's a question as to what the definition is of the word Yitomim. Abaya Kashisha is the one who holds that even when it says Yitomim, normally we refer to people who can't protect themselves, over here it's even Yitomim Gidolim. Because since this is a din of Ptach Picha Le'ilei, and since these Yitomim don't know, in other words, as far as they're concerned, they may be 50 years old, but that doesn't mean their father shared with them the question of whether he had paid off their mother money in the course of time. So they don't know. Since if he were alive, he might have been able to say, I paid you your tuvah. So in the mail, we're taking for him. So it's an example of protection of people who can't utilize tainas that they may actually have and they just don't know it. So according to this, if you hold that even Gedolim, and our Mishnah would then be referring to Gedolim, that even Gedolim require a shvua, so then that would explain why Ben Anas is saying you need a shvua. Because Yitomim, Abaye Kashisha says, Yitomim Shamru Gedolim, Vein Zor Lomar Ktanim, of course Ktanim, but even Gedolim. Whereas, so the Tanakama, let lay the Abaye Kashisha, Ben Anas, eat lay the Abaye Kashisha. It's very simple. That's the Machlokas. And well, what are we going to say, Agav, about everybody else? Because what about the others that explained without addressing Abaye Kashisha? In other words, wasn't as Tosis says, isn't this the first problem you got in the Mishnah? What are we arguing about? She's coming to collect. So why are they talking about who swears to whom? First one, the second one, the third one, fourth one's got nobody to swear to. They all have to swear to the Yitomim anyway. And it's the same Shua. And a Shua Le'echad is a Shua to anybody. Everybody has to accept the same Shua. There's no difference in the quality of Shua. So what are we talking about? Well, either we're going to have to learn that the Mishnah's talking about Yitomim Gedolim, and everybody is assuming that we don't hold of a Abaye Kashisha, which is really interesting. And or it could be talking about does suggest that it's a continuation of the Mishnah before, where he parted her from Yeshua. And that we're only talking about, at least this is the way the others hold. Now comes on Gabai, he says, no, that's not the case. We're not talking about the case where she was Pturim and Yeshua in terms of Yitomi, where he said, you don't have to collect either from me or Miratai. Obviously, Shaloka, Abashoben, and Miriam were like Rabbi Shimon. Because over there you'd have to swear anyway to the Yitomi. But if we don't hold that way, so then there's no problem, perhaps. But comes along Abaye to say, no, it's talking about really a shvua to the Yitomim, and we're talking about Yitomim Gedolim. So the Tanakama holds, why do you have to swear to Yitomim Gedolim? Whereas Ben Anas, so it's like Abaye Kashisha.
You said there's always Yitomim, because there's always Yitomim.
We're talking about, yeah,
even if they're not alive. I mean, even if they're
right. Kids. Somebody's inheriting this money, but they're taking from it. It's not. They're certainly not the wives that are inheriting the money. So in Zorg Lomar Tanim, so Tanakam Amlet, Leid Abaye Kashisha. Ben Anasit, Leid Abaye Kashisha. Omer Rav Huna, you should know that in terms of people that are acting together in an issue, Ani Tre Achim, Tre Shutfi, you've got two brothers, or you have two Shutfim. Di'it La Dina Ba'ade Adad. V'ozu Chad Minayo Ba'ade La Dina. So let's say these two guys have a fight with somebody, and one of these partners, one of these achim in an estate, they go to argue it out. Because here what we have is four wives. It says that they're swearing to each other. The fourth one swears. Does she swear to all of them? Do they have to all be in court? Or is there a taina? Well, what exactly would be the halacha? So says Rav Huna, the halacha is that in all cases where there are multiple partners in a case, one of them cannot say to the person in that the judge paskened for, well, I wasn't part of this particular case. Over here, of course, these words, la bal dvarim de diat, is not the normal usage of the words, la bal dvarim de diat. Normally, la bal dvarim de diat means if somebody is suing you, you have a, if that person is not really an interested party, directly you have a right to say, look, I don't know you, I refuse to even respond. Over here, we're talking about ex post facto. It is already done. One of the partners, one of the brothers went to court and got the psak. I don't like the psak. So I can go, I would think, and say, well, this psak, it's nothing to do with me. You two guys argued it out, but if I had gone to court, I would have had what to say. You can't say that. Ela shlichutei avad. He basically is doing the shlichut for any of the other brothers or any of the partners. Now, Reb Nachman, he called Reb Nachman the surah. Shailuaki ay gavnamai. He went to surah and they asked him, what exactly would be the halach in a case where a guy claimed, I don't like the way the din was handled? Isn't this the Mishnah? Right here in the service. The Mishnah says, Harishana nishbat l'shniya. The shniya is nishbat l'shlishit. The shlishit is a revi'it. Why doesn't the Rishana have to swear to the shlishit? Why doesn't it say Harishana nishbat? What do you mean Harishana nishbat l'shniya? So apparently it's going out of its way to say, L'rishana shlishit lo katani. My taima. Because there's no possible way, even if initially she hadn't sworn to the third one. Now the third one is coming to say, wait a sec. What right did you have to collect? What do you mean? Wife number two already said that to me, and I already took a shvuah. So she could say, so you see from here that she can't, and that when she makes the shvuah to number two, it handles the cases to number three. So my time is that not because, not because she basically did what needed to be done? No. Of course that's not true. Well, what does that have to do with the case that you just asked? Me dummy? Is there any difference? She was mukhayyavet the shvuah. We're not talking about a case. We're talking about a procedure. The procedure of a shvuah is the same exact procedure whether she's swearing to number two or swearing to number three. Why in the world would she take the shvuah again? But if you're talking about arguments in a case, arguments in a hearing, so you're going to say, well, listen, one of your partners already went to court. You can't go to court again. I understand. This guy's a total idiot. He had a lousy lawyer. I never would have taken him. If I went to court, believe me, I would have presented the whole thing differently, and I believe they would have passed it in my favor. So I don't have to accept his the way that he now prosecutes the case. So therefore, over here, he could say, if I were there, I would have said much better tainus. But that we can only say if he wasn't around. So therefore, he has an excuse for, hey, wait a second over here. Who told you to go to court?
He didn't know that.
Yeah, so then that's not, he's not just playing games, trying to get a rehearing. Now all of a sudden he doesn't like the way the case came out. But apparently initially he was there. Did he bother showing up in court? No. So initially he really relied on this person to now continue to prosecute the case for him. And that was enough for him. Now all of a sudden he wants another chance to do it his way. That he can't do. In that case, he should have come to court and he didn't. Itma. What happens in the event that you have, here we're talking about not our Mishnah, I mean, it's obviously why we bring this up in the context of our Mishnah, but here we're talking about shtarot where somebody sold a piece of property, and in typical Brooklyn Bridge fashion, he sold it to two people. So the problem is that they both have the same date. What do we do? So Rav Amar Cholkin. Rav says, look, there's no way to determine, because they're not given an hour, they're only given in a day. So we have to split it. Shmuel Amar Shudda D'Dayoni. Shmuel says, no, splitting it is not a good idea. This is the case of Shudda D'Dayoni. Remember, we have a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, where that means the Dayan gives it to whomever he thinks it would make sense to assume that the seller sold it. Over here, I mean, there's one person he would really prefer gets the sada. It's his good friend. He doesn't want to steal the money from him.
He doesn't have to do it.
And there was another.
It doesn't have to do their assessment of the timing of the two of them.
No.
Not even the one would be first.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to assess the time. There's no chalos to the kinyan here.
And then to maybe look for witnesses who was wearing them.
That wouldn't matter. As we'll talk about in a moment, yeah.
Really,
because the shtar is what's kilveya. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, obviously, we have to consider the question of Mesira. And I think Mesira, which is what Ramati is bringing up, which we'll talk about in a moment. So Rav says, okay, look, the best thing to do in this case is a chalukah. And Shmuel says, no, it's a shudder the dayanim, which according to Rashi is, let's try to figure out who it was that it's more likely. Or as we saw earlier, according to Tosfos, is that the dayanim have a right to dispose of it as they see fit. So, Lema Rav Yamak Rabbi Meir, is it that we're arguing basically over here in the question that Ramati raised? In other words, so Rav says Chokin. See, he's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says when it comes, I mean, you hear about Chokin in terms of Gittin, but it's basically the same question for any Shtarot. What really makes the Shtar a Shtar? So specifically, we have to know by Gittin, as we saw earlier, what the Torah means by the Katav La, which is La Lishma. What makes the ketiva? Is it the chatima of the edim on a shtar that has to be lishma? Or is it the giving over of the shtar that is actually the creation of the shtar? So according to Rabbi Meir, he holds that the edim on the chatima, that's what the shtar is. A shtar is basically two edim. So by signing these things, the same thing over here, I'm selling the guy a field, they were both signed on the same day. If they were both signed on the same day, and assuming that we're talking about a place where we do not use hours. So there's no hour mentioned in this shtar. So over here, that means that the person who was giving over these fields was basically saying to you, I'm not being mocked in one to the other. That's what he's saying. That's the message. Because he understands that there's no possible way of our tracing it. It wouldn't make any difference whatsoever when anybody got the shtar, because that's irrelevant. So in that case, as Rav, since neither of them has more power than the other one, so what are we talking about? A shudder de dayanim. He's giving two people the same field, so they split it.
Split what?
The field.
Not that they both get the money, but split the money. Say it's no deal.
They're both on the same thing. However you want to deal with it.
The field is split the money.
Yeah, or this could be a matana also. No, it may not be talking about that there was money. Who did he desire to give it to? Is exactly the same question. So there would be no way, especially rationally, there's no way in a shudder de dayanim for the dayanim to say, well, he really intended to. I mean, if he really intended to, then he would have made given one a stronger claim on it. By writing a shtar like this and not putting in an hour, he's not giving anybody a stronger claim. But if it says, Rav, it's obvious you want to do chaluka. Whereas Shmuel apparently would be saying, Shmuel yomer karev elazer, yomer edei mesira karta. So according to Rav Elazer, even if the shtar isn't even signed, it's a perfectly valid shtar. Because the thing that makes it a shtar is the fact that witnesses saw you giving over this piece of paper to the person, and that creates the shibun on the karkaot, not the signature itself. So therefore, essentially there isn't even a reason to sign a shtar, according to Rav Elazer, other than the reason of tikkun olam, because it often happens, we can't trace it, Basira, and so on. So we also sign it, but miyikra dina would have been a perfectly good shtar. So if that's the case, it may well be that if we had a way of ascertaining that one of them was given the shtar first, so then indeed we would have been able to say the entire thing was meant to be given to that person, in which case it is now open to interpretation. Since we don't know where the Mesira was, in this case we say, Shudda Dayanai, what do you think? Which one was he more friendly with? Who would he have made sure they had given to first? So on and so forth. So therefore we would go with Shudda Dayanai. It's a little bit difficult to believe that. We have a machlokas Rav Shmuel now in a machlokas Tanayim. This would be a direct result of machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Elazar. Does that make sense? No. Indeed, there's no reason to say this. It may well be to Kuli Yamak Rabbi Elazar. The reason we say Rabbi Elazar is because it's more passive affairs like Rabbi Elazar and Gittin that in fact Edim Asira Karte, in which case over here you'd say, so then why aren't we saying Shudda de Dayanai according to the reasoning that we just had? Because they're arguing, in fact, whether when you have that kind of doubt, is it better to do a shudder de dayanim or is it better to do a chalukah? And you can see the advantages in both directions. On one side, you could say, look, if we're going to give it to one party, it may be the wrong party. And then the one who was supposed to get it didn't get a cent. So it doesn't make more sense to do chalukah, at least that way we know that somebody's got it. On the other hand, if we do chalukah, we know that we're not doing the din correctly. Because it's either one or the others. So it makes more sense to try to figure out which one it was, perhaps. So they were at least take a chance because this is learning that this is the one. Okay, so maybe that's a general machlokas over here, what to do in such cases. Rav Savar Chaluka Adifa, Ushmo Savar Shudid Dayan Adifa. Maybe that's the point. Now, Lamaisa, as far as the Gemara before, where we were talking about Cholkais Beshava, right? If they were Kuli Yetzis, we just said, Kuli Yetzis Beshava Achas, Cholkais Beshava. How come over here we don't say that? Well, it was a Mishnah. What are we talking about now? Suddenly, in the context of that very same Mishnah, we're talking about the same case. And over here we're saying, no, it's about Cholkais, Rav and Shmuel, I understand. We're ignoring what we just said. So Tosfos says there's no connection between the two cases, even though it appears to be on the surface exactly the same. The reason there's no connection is because a shtar mecher effectuates the kinyan, and therefore whichever one is the kinyan is the kinyan. There's nothing to discuss. Yeah, but when you're talking about the case of the ketuvah, you're talking about the creation of a lien, not effectuating the kinyan. The creation of a lien, by definition, is built into our ability to know that this contract has created a lien, because that's the whole point. When you create a lien that the buyer bewares of, so then it's a lien. When you can't create a lien that the buyer bewares of, because, oh, well, that doesn't, it's not dated. So therefore, by definition, anything that is dated but not timed only goes into effect at a minute before midnight of the next day. Because you can always say, well, you can't collect with this lien. I bought this in the morning. How do you know that this was already there in the morning? Maybe it was only signed at what, the stroke of midnight. Obviously, midnight is a bottom term. Right, so maybe over here, therefore, the creation of a lien by definition is always going to be later. And at the exact same moment, because it's later. And therefore, we're going to have to split it. That's true, I'll leave it at Kuliyam. But over here, a mecher is a reality. And therefore, we're talking about Omin HaMachlokas, okay? Which is very important to keep that in mind. Beautiful, beautiful distinction. I lost that bath. That's such a beautiful bath. Okay. Says the Gemara, how can you say that Rav holds like Rav Elazar? He must is mukmis me the Rav Rav Elazar. The Omer of Yudah Omer Rav Alokha Rav Elazar begin. The whole point is that Rav says this halacha of going according to Eidei Mesira is true in Gittin. But, I mean, here that's not what we're talking about, right? I mean, isn't he going out of his way to say that it shouldn't work over here? It's Shmuel who said, I mean, Rav Yehuda, who was a Talmud, both Rav and Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, when he went to Shmuel and said over what Rav said, Shmuel says, it's not true, that halacha is like Rav Elazar af b'shtaris. Apparently, Rav does not hold b'shtaris or libet Rav Elazar. He holds that when it comes to b'shtaris, that Eidei Chatima Karte. So then we're back where we started from. If Eidei Chatima Karte, so then that would mean, and libet Rabbi Meir, that would be the reason he's doing Chaluka. And indeed, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel would be, therefore, in the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rav Elazar. Of course, we can no longer ask, gosh, I thought we wanted to avoid at any cost having Ketanoi, but over here, it's no longer, that's no longer true. Because now there's also this additional issue. Does it apply when it comes to Torah? Does it apply when it comes to Gittin? Now already it's a question of the applicability of the Machlokas Tanoim. That, of course, you can have a Machlokas Amorai, right? Meisr. Shnei Shterot, Hayotzim B'Yom Echad, Chokim. How does Shmuel say that the halacha is, Shudda D'Dayani? If it says Beferish in a Braita, that if two Shterot are both dated the same and they don't have an hour, then we don't do Shudda D'Dayani, we do Chalukah. Tiyuv T'Dishmuel. What Tiyuv T'Dishmuel? We just said, didn't we, that there's a Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. You just agreed that was the whole Machlokas between myself and Rav. So how can you ask a question from a Braita where obviously Hamani Rabbi Meir he? The Anad Amrik Rabbi Elazar. Isn't that the whole point? You can never ask on me from a Braita. Says the Gemara, yes we can. Because this Braita can't possibly be like Rabbi Meir. Look how the Braita continues. E Rabbi Meir ima seifa. Katav le'echad u'masar la'acher. Zesh masar lo kana. Suppose he writes a shtar, but he doesn't do the mesira of the shtar. And he writes another shtar, which he is meiser, to another person. No. So it says over there, it goes according to one that he was meiser. According to Rabbi Meir, who cares who he was meiser? It's Eidei Chatima, according to Rabbi Meir, the Rekarta. See, Rabbi Meir, Amai Kana, Ha'omar, Eidei Chatima, Karte. So how do you explain that? That's a good point, says Shmuel. All right. So let's look at this another way. You're tying that over here, it says, beferish, that chaluka is the way to go. But that's because there's also another machlokas tanayim. There's a machlokas tanayim about whether in such cases we do shuda or we do chaluka. And therefore you can't ask me, I was going according to the Tana who holds that in such cases you will do chaluka and you will do shuda, not chaluka. But this Tana is not like that. Tanoi yi detanya. V'chachamim omrim yachloku. The Chachamim say in a case where the case over there was a guy is given money to deliver to so and so. So he goes and he takes the money like a good shliach and he goes to find so and so, and he can't find so and so, and what happens is that so and so is already dead. Okay, he goes back to the person who sent it to him. The person who sent it to this other individual also died in the interim. So now the question is, would that person have wanted to send it to the other person's yorshim, or does it belong to the yorshim of the person who sent it? Now, the poor shliach has absolutely no way to know. So the chachomim say, look, let the yorshim of the two, the sender and the ostensible receiver, let them split it. And in this case, they said over here, v'kan omru, mashi yirtzeh ha-shalish yaseh. Whatever the shliach wants to do, he should do, which he should have. So we see that there is, in fact, two different shitas. Imedirami Bar Chama. Now, this is a very sad story of two sons fighting for the love of their mother. So, Rami Bar Chama had, of course, a brother, Ma'ukva Bar Chama. We know both of them intimately. And Rami Bar Chama also had a mother. And Imedirami Bar Chama, so his mother, he was basically coming to his mother's sickbed. So he visits her in the morning. And Tkatfina Lanitsa, Rami Bar Chama, Bitsafra. So in the morning, she's with him, and she writes him out a shtar for all of her goods. Of course, yeah. Of course, Marukva Bar Chama came and visited in the evening. And she writes, Lurta Katfina Marukva Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama comes to Reb Sheshet, and he says, look, you know, I mean, I was there first, basically, you know. So Sheshe says, okay, so Rami gets to be in the Nechasa. Comes along Mar Ukva, and he goes to Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman's a tough cookie. So Reb Nachman gave the Nechasim over to Mar Ukva. But he held, I mean, obviously you can't go to another Dayan to Paschim against what the other Dayan says, but he held that he was Mamash HaToyah B'dvar Mishnah, as we'll see. So he went to Reb Nachman, and Reb Nachman said he could stay there. Reb Sheshe isn't very upset. Reb Sheshe says Paschim that morning that it was supposed to go to Rami Bar Chama. So Reb Sheshes comes to Reb Nachman and asks him, Amalei, my time, Amad Marachi, how did you do that? Amalei, maybe you'll tell me, how did you do what you did first, that you put Rami there? Amalei, my time, Amad Marachi? Amalei, what do you mean? he was there in the morning. Oh, said Reb Nachman, all of a sudden in the morning? A nafkamina? Oto b'Yerushalayim yatvina, the katvina shaot? It says the time in the shtar? If it doesn't say the time in the shtar, the Messiah is irrelevant. That's the whole point. We don't know, because there's no shows. Ooh, so what did you do that for? But you, I don't understand, what were you thinking? That's a complete mistake. Elamar, my time of it, Achi. Okay, fine, it's a mistake, but why did you decide the other way? I mean, at least what I did made some sense. Omarlei, I decided the other way, because of Shuri Dayani. I happen to know that she loved him more. Omar Lay, Reb Sheshet said, okay, so you hold the case of Shudda Dayani. So I'm also a Dayan. So, I mean, you don't hold it the way I did it. So let me do it as a Shudda Dayani. I mean, to embarrass me like this, to say, like, I'm just turning around your sock. You're saying I made a mistake. My reasoning was wrong. Okay, my reasoning was wrong. But ultimately, since I'm a Dayan, I had a right to do a Shudda Dayani, which is mashbar like Tysus. Omar Lay, first of all, you're wrong. Because, you see, I'm a Dayan. You ain't no Dayan. Right. I got smicha for Dayanis over here. And
is the mother still alive?
No. Not that it would matter. No, because people, I mean, they can always say something. They've changed their mind in the interim. Somebody offered them more, or, you know, did something to change their mind. So first of all, you are no Dayan, okay? I'm the Dayan around here. And I mean, basically, I mean, you know, I'm paskin over here straight out of halacha. I mean, I'm paskin like Rabbi Lazar, but then it's Adam Asira Karte, and I think that this is who since that's the case, So over here, therefore, I believe this one is the one that's more loved. And you don't have rishus from the Reish Galusa, and you don't have a smicha the way I have. You're not considered to be a dayan from here. Tosfos brings actually that they had a kabbalah that this halacha should have the dayani does not apply to a guy who happens to be a dayan. It's only somebody who's mamish miyuchad the doyra, and that is we don't do shudah the dayani anymore. And it has to be a dayan who is as mumcha the doyra as Reb Nachman was. I mean, Reb Sheshet was certainly a very big dayan, but Reb Nachman is saying you're no dayan. Not, he's saying something that is meaningful. He's not just giving him a shtoch. He's saying, well, halach, you're not considered to be a dayan. You need to be somebody that is world famous and has the type of power that allows him to do a shudah the dayan. So that's number one. Don't confuse what you do with what a dayan does. And secondly, that was not your intent. You can't do a shudah the dayan ex post facto. You were trying to figure out what the halacha was. So by definition, you were not doing a shudah the dayanic. And therefore, we can't say it's what the dayan wanted, like Tosfos, or it's the dayan's analysis of intent, like Rashi. It's neither. You made a mistake in the halacha, and you're paskin like Rabbi Meir, and that's not the din. And I understand what you want. You were a teyabit bar mishnah, and that's all. Bye. This is what happened. So furthermore, if I would mikor, lav b'torah tafiyatita lo, you did not come. Even if you had been a dayan, you did not come to do a shudah dayani in this case. Therefore, I'm very sorry, but we have to reverse your psak.
Did Reb Nachman know at the time?
No
way. That the case of Reb Sheshet had happened?
Probably.
So in other words, he assumed his mistake then, he seems to be saying now. Kind of.
Well, he knew he couldn't have done a shudah, and the only possibility is that he was holding a chatima karti. Why else would
he assume that?
So he was pushing him, so why'd you do it? Even Lishitosva, I understand the song. Even Lishitosva, it's a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, how you look at it. Because once you all, it would be Eidei Chatimas, and the Messiah is irrelevant.
But Yevlami would have come to Reb Nachman first.
No, Reb Nachman, the way Rashi's learning is Reb Nachman says, I happen to know their mother, and I know who she likes.
You would have told him that, your brother.
Yeah. Very sad.
So but then why would he have given it to her, him in the first place? He came first.
What do you mean? An old lady. I'm kidding. Maybe she didn't remember. She had another.
Sign here,
things don't change much.
Why wouldn't they say that Yachloku?
Because he didn't hold the Yachloku. He held in cases where you can't pass. And then the Shuddha is the best. That we saw was an earlier Machloku story. Hanu Trish story, the Yosef Lekame, the Rav Yosef. There were two shtarot that came to Rabbi Yosef on the same property. In Chara v'kotuv b'chamisha b'nisan, v'chara v'kotuv b'nisan. Interesting. So a year, one of them was written in the month of Nisan of this year, and the other one was written on the fifth day of Nisan. So Rabbi Yosef went and gave the nechosim to the one that said chamisha b'nisan. So ukmi Rabbi Yosef la'udu chamisha b'nisan b'nechosim, omele yida, so the other one said, what? Va'ana absid? This isn't fair. Maybe mine is earlier. Omalei at yatchala tachtona. By definition, you're in a weaker position. Because for you to get anything, you have to be able to prove you were before Hamishah ben Nisan. Maybe Nisan means the last day of Nisan. Imabar esrimet tishal b'Nisan. So I said, darn. Okay, so at least write me out a tirfa. Because you're saying, I bought the property, this guy's a swindler. So you're saying, so he swindled me out of my money, so I want to start here for to be able to go and collect from him. I bought it without price. Now it turns out he had sold it to somebody else. So write a tirfa, at least that's dated the first day of the year. So that should be, tirfa should be now mi'iyar. So at least for anybody who bought a field after Rosh Chodesh Iyar, there you're made of that. For sure I was before them because I'm sometime in Nisan. So he had another field and I think he sold it to somebody else. So at least any fields that he sold after the 29th day of Nisan, at least I can show that my lien came first. Oh, Marley says, I'm sorry, you can't get a deer for either. Because let's say you come to him and you say, you louse, you sold me a field you'd sold to somebody else, I want my money back. Oh, he says, that's terrible, they took that field away from you? Your field I had given you, you were the earlier one. That's why I wrote the fifth day of Nisan for that guy, because yours, I figured Nisan is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They took it away, Shalom Kadin, go back and fight it out in court. But I certainly don't have to pay anything. They took it away from the wrong guy. So my God, so you mean I'm out my money? He says, I'll tell you what you can do. My takante resonates. What you can do is you can ask the other guy, the one who was Chamisha ben Nisan. You can ask Mr. Chamisha ben Nisan, to do you a favor and to give you a power of attorney. So now if you come with his power of attorney and your own tviya, one of you definitely has a right to the money back, because it's all the same deal to two people. So you can't keep turning around and saying to each one of them, no, the other one was the right one. It was a pretty brilliant move. But if you get a power of attorney, each one comes with the other one's power of attorney. So then basically together you can get one lawyer to bring the suit against this guy and you can collect. Well, and if he's a nice guy, you know, he'll do it for you as a favor and he'll give you the money back for the field. That's up to him. But I mean, on some level you could definitely get the money back.
Wasn't he a rip-off to start?
No, boy, was it a rip-off.
So why would he give me the money back?
No. What do you mean, the rip-off guy? Because I'm suing him. What do you mean? I'm going to take it now from another poor guy that he ripped off. It's the last guy that's going to be left. That's right.
Yeah, the guy with the fifth of reason didn't do anything wrong. So.
No, nobody. The only guy who did something wrong is the guy who keeps selling the same the Brooklyn Bridge. And, yeah. I mean, that's why there was so much traffic that morning on the Brooklyn Bridge. Everyone was coming to collect. So my content, everybody should write out the power of attorney to the next guy.
I guess.
Misha yanasui arba nashim umeit, rishona kadem lishniya, rishniya lishlishit, rishlishit rivi'it. Rishona nishbat lishniya, rishniya lishlishit, rishlishit rivi'it, varivi'it difrat shlo b'shvua. Benana somer, v'chim ipnei shiach rona niskeret, Afila tipara ala bishvua. Are you a tzok kulam biyom echad? Kol hakodemet l'chavrata afilu sha'a echad zachta. V'kach hayu kotvim biyerushalayim sha'ot. Hayu kulan yotzot b'sha'a echad? V'ein sham al amona chokot b'shava. B'mayka miflegi. Oma shvua kegon she'nimtzeit achat mehem sade she'ina shelo. Anyway. So what's the point of her swearing? We'll just take it away from her. No, if we let her collect, we better make sure she swears up front. No, that's not the machlokes. Mar savar chashinan shematachsif, since she doesn't think she's going to be able to hold on to the field. Umar savar lo chashinan shematachsif. Abaye Amar, the problem over here is whether she's swearing not to the other women, but whether she's swearing to the Yorshim. And the machlokus over here is in the din of Abaye Kashisha, Ikebanayim. The Tani Abaye Kashisha, Yetomim Shamru Gidolim Vintrach Lomar Ktanim. So the Tani come and let lay the Abaye Kashisha, and therefore what's the point of swearing? And therefore, what's the point of swearing? And bananas, he played that by a kashisha, so he has to swear now, even though they're gedalim, he has to swear. Omer when a honey tree after the tree should feed, eat like dina, body adeni, body chad, was a chad me now by the ladina. Lomatsi eat a flamema, hey, I didn't have anything, I didn't want you to go do prosecute the case. Let not love Baldwar in Midiat, Elishlukhate of her. Igor Nakon the Surah and Shaiguha Ki Agav Namai, and they brought a riot from the Mishnah. Matnitini, Harishonah Nishbad L'Shniyah, Shniyah Shlishit, Shlishit Revi'it. Why doesn't the Rishonah also have to swear to the Shlishit? That it doesn't say. My time, Allah Mishonah Shlichuta Avda anyway. So I said to him, he said to them, Midami, Hatam Shvul Echad is a Shvul Amiyah. But Acha Omar, Ilu Ana Avoyetan in a Tvei, If he didn't, he obviously is relying on the other guy. Itmar, shtei shteirot hayotz im biyom echad. Rav amar chokin ushvu amar shudet adayari. Leimar Rav yomar karibi meir, yomar edi chatima karte. Vishmul yomar karabi alazar, yomar edi misira karte. Lo, nekule yomar karabi alazar. V'och bokam ifagi, Rav savar chaluka adifa. Ushmul savar shudet adayari adifa. Umi matzik mukpet leila rav kerbalozer. V'yom rav yonam rav halakha kerbe elazar begitten. And kiamrit kamede shmul omer no, even bishtarot. So apparently rav holds bishtarot lo. Elamachvar to rav kerbe meir shmul kerbe elazar. Medle. Shnei shtarot ayotim yotzit b'yom echad cholkin, ferish, namach ro, so tiyub dir shmul. Omer lach shmul, what do you mean? The mishnah is rabbi meir. V'anid amik kerbe elazar. No, he Rabbi Meir, look at the Sefer, the Ema Sefer. Katav le'achad u'masar la'acher, zeh she'masar lo kana, V'Rabbi Meir Amaykana Ha'amreir Chatimah Karte. Well, actually, Tanoi. The Tanya V'Chachamim Amrim Yachloku. V'Kan Amru Mashi Yirtzah Shlish Yaseh. Imei D'Rami Bar Chama Katvino L'Nifse L'Nifsa L'Rami Bar Chama V'Tzafra L'Urta Katvino the same Nefasim T'Marukva Bar Chama. Otter Rami Bar Chama L'Kamid Rav Sheshet L'Ukmei B'Nifsa. Otter Marukva L'Kamid Rav Nachman L'Ukmei B'Nifsa. Otter Rav Sheshet L'Kamid Rav Nachman Omele Mai Tama Avad Marachi. Omele Mai Tama Avad Marachi. Omele the Kodim. Omele Atab Yerushalayim Yatvino the Katvino Shaot. All right, so, but Umar my time of it, I mean, what do you mean? Should have done Dayani. Omale, so, how about me? Ananami should have done Dayani. Omale, first of all, let's not talk about you as a Dayan. Ana Dayani, Mar Lav Dayan. Besides which, me, Kora Lav, Torah Tochi, Tita Lav. Ana Twish, Tari, the other, the Kamner of Yosef, Haravikot, Bechamishabanisan. Bechamishabanisan, Bechamishabanisan, Stama. Ukmi Rav Yosef Lahuda Chamishaba Nisan Minechasim. Omele Ida, what? Ana Afsid? Omele, what am I supposed to do? Ad Yad Chala Tachtona? How do I know you're not a Baris Rimitesha but Nisanat? Omele, okay, so at least Niftav Limar Tirfa that I should be able to collect any field that he sold from Rosh Chodesh Iyar the next day. Omele, there's no way Tirfa is going to help you, mister. Because Yachle Memel Chad Bar Chad Ben Nisanat. So, and then on that basis, you can go ahead with a tirfa.